America Tonight. Each and every show, we like to kick it around with the true insiders. Tony Sagg joins us this time around. He's a GOP strategist. I am sure that you have caught him on Fox News, and certainly has quite a resume when it comes to politics, without a doubt. A true insider in Washington. He worked on a whole bunch of things and for a whole bunch of different people. I don't want to give his whole resume, or it would take an entire 4 hours of America Tonight. This tug of war over foreign policy and sadly what happened in Libya, and Mitt Romney, his comments about Obama and Obama's failure to really show strength, I guess I'm just going to take some liberties with that because we could have direct quotes here. But it seems as though the Republicans have kind of moved away from slamming Obama's foreign policy. Do you think it was a mistake, or was, no, that was the right thing for Romney to do when he was asked about it, let's face it, about what had happened in Libya a couple days ago?
You know, I think it was the absolute right response, and on a couple things, Kate. You know, Mitt Romney can't score a break, and he never will, if with the media leaning to the left as they do, being the judge. You know, they complain that he's not strong enough, and then he gets strong, and they say it's ill-timed and ill-placed. You know, if you really focus on what Governor Romney said, he was specifically referring to a communique that came out of the embassy in Cairo, our embassy in Cairo, that seemed to somehow blame what was happening on a video from a private American citizen who had the right, as crazy as the video may have been, to produce it. And he said simply, you know, appeasement is not the way to do it. Now, whether or not this communique was approved directly by the president is almost immaterial. This is the embassy in Cairo, which directly reports to the Department of State, which directly reports to the White House. So obviously, he has to take accountability for that. And the message of appeasement that the governor was referring to didn't just happen, you know, yesterday. This has been the consistent theme of the Obama policy in the Middle East. Never before have we had American foreign policy in the Arab world dictated by the Arab street, and that's what we have had. Never have we had it dictated by the Europeans. That's what we saw in Libya. And never before, and this is something I know Secretary Kemp certainly would never have stood for, have we had even an ounce of daylight between us and our closest friend and ally, which are the Israelis. And we just learned this week that Prime Minister Netanyahu, while in New York, was denied a meeting with President Obama next week. So this is the background and the basis from which I think Governor Romney's critique came, and I think he was absolutely right.
So Romney now at this point, I mean, this is full speed ahead. Ryan comes back to the House. Everybody is excited. They applaud him, of course, from the same side of the aisle. And even I heard he got some pats on the back from some others who like him that are Dems. What is this like full, as I said, is this full speed ahead now at this point? You've done campaigns. You've run for office before. When you're into a couple of months left, what are the key things that you have to do?
Well, look, the issue in this campaign now is front and center, preparing for these debates, and that's what you've seen Governor Romney do, with the exception of some, I would call, very skewed polling that has come out this last week that shows, I think, a very exaggerated bounce for President Obama, just as a kind of point of fact. The CNN poll that gave him an 8-point lead showed Governor Romney with a 14-point lead with independent voters. How does President Obama lead Governor Romney by 8 points in a poll that Governor Romney is beating him among independents by double digits? Shows you that there's a lot of skewed, I think, data coming out. The reality is this is a neck-and-neck race, you know, not even 55 days to the finish. And you have to focus on your message. And this is the time in any campaign where every single event counts, because there isn't a lot of time left to respond to it. So, for example, even a foreign kind of episode, as we've seen, this act of war against our embassies in North Africa and Yemen, you know, this is going to have some sort of effect on the campaign. You know, we thought really none of this would happen until the first debate in Denver, but I actually have a very sinking suspicion that, and I don't know the outcome, but that this event in North Africa is going to get more traction than we have seen even in the last 48 hours, and it will have resonance in this presidential election. So time is of the essence. Focus on your message. It's, you know, for Governor Romney, it's jobs and the economy. For President Obama, it's not my fault. But, you know, there are going to be events that do obviously alter the track you yourself want your campaign to follow.
Yeah. The teacher strike in Chicago. Lots of callers to America Tonight have been calling me up and saying, oh, this is a setup. You just wait and see. The Democrats can say they're going to ride in on the white horse and save the day with what's happening there with all those kids out of school. I say it's just an easy opportunity to certainly politicize it and go to the, you know, go forward with the war on unions. Do you think that the union issue, the Republicans, after what happened with Scott Walker in Wisconsin, do you think the Republicans own this, that, hey, the unions aren't what they used to be kind of thing? We embrace them when they work, but we're willing to discard them when they strangle pension plans and that kind of stuff?
Absolutely, you're right, Katie. I mean, every American respects the fact that there should be fairness in employment and wages and benefits, particularly for those who go into public service. But as we've seen in the last decade, the median income for a public sector worker in a public union is double that of a private sector worker. Now, taxpayers pay these salaries. There's a lot of, I think, frustration because they just keep getting more and more bloated. They negotiate egregiously generous contracts because political people on both sides of the aisle, frankly, generally have given into their requests in the past at fear of getting political retribution against them if they don't support the unions. And now we're seeing a complete unraveling in their enrollment. It's down significantly. I think we're now only at 10% of Americans in public employee in unions, period. And then in states, you know, traditionally liberal states like Wisconsin, New Jersey, you've seen a willingness in New Jersey, certainly in a bipartisan way, to attack the public sector union issue. In Wisconsin, they put it to a public referendum, I think four times, the last in the via a recall election of Governor Walker, and the anti-union forces scored resounding victories each and every time. So I think the public doesn't even view it as a partisan issue. They view it as a taxpayer issue. And on that issue, I think, particularly on the local and state level, Republicans have been enormously effective. I mean, from Indiana to Ohio to Wisconsin to New Jersey, you know, we have really seen unions stymied. And now look, Democratic Mayor Rahm Emanuel taking them head on in Chicago. I mean, they want 16% raises. They don't want any accountability standards. It's kind of silly, you know. Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. The unions have just become complete hogs, and they're getting slaughtered.
Yeah, I agree. Tony Sayegh, it's such a delight to have you on the show. Don't be a stranger. We'd love to talk to you down the road. All right, coming up the rest of the way here in this hour, we're going to talk about more about the teachers and the fact that there is no deal yet at this point. Maybe on Monday, kids back to school, but maybe don't mean yes. And it's looking like this may continue. There is no definite deal in Chicago. So looking at unions, we've talked about this. I've asked many of you, have you ever been in a union? What did the union do for you? Was it worthwhile, or did it stymie growth, even among the people in the union? I've seen that in a tight newspaper union. They had some lousy reporters, the Santa Barbara News Press, back in the day, and they had some tremendous ones. They couldn't dump the lousy ones because of the union. What are you going to do? Sugary sodas. If you're going to New York, forget 32 ounces. Should the mayor tell you what you can eat and drink? We're talking about it next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Should a mayor of a city be able to tell you what you can eat and drink, and will it really make you slim? Will it curb obesity and save millions of dollars, as has been proclaimed? We're going to let you hear the mayor in just a second. Let me throw out the digits, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. And I will tell you that the beauty of America Tonight is we are live, 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 brothers and sisters. So that means if anything explodes, and I hope it doesn't, in the Middle East, because you got really seven countries on the verge, Americans being told to look out, we will certainly let you know. I've got somebody who's actually, you know, the miracle of the iPhone, even if it's not an iPhone 5, is that I've got people actually sending me texts from overseas and giving me what the foreign press is saying and what's actually happening on the ground. So we'll keep you up to date on that. And there's more to dig into. The craziness of the lack of security, which we already talked about. I mentioned that I knew someone at the Pentagon who said inside job, they had planned it out. It's pretty obvious as you saw things unfold, so I don't think that's necessarily a revelation to anyone. But officially, it certainly is looking that way, and they're continuing to investigate what happened with the ambassador and the three others who were killed. And more details are coming out about the others who were involved, because it's always the Ambassador Stevens, but what about the three others? First, though, let's dive into the sugary soda controversy. Yeah, the reason why would I be talking about this at the top, we've talked about it before, is because it's just ridiculous to think by telling people that you can't get 32 ounces of Mountain Dew or 32 ounces of Coke Zero or whatever it is somebody's going to fill up at a 7-Eleven or convenience store. If they don't do that, geez, that you are saving them. You have given them now a lifeline. I don't think so. To me, when you deny people something, it makes them want it more. So they'll just go over the bridge to Jersey or on their way in, they'll just grab a 32-ounce cup of something or other, right? And it just plays up the fact that Mayor Bloomberg couldn't be more disassociated from what normal working class people are doing. Hey, he does ride the subways. I give him credit for that. He does ride the subways. But Joe Lunchbucket, once his 32 ounces, he's up on the beams. He's sweating all day long. If he wants 32 ounces of something, I don't see what the difference is. Anyway, I'll let Bloomberg explain. Check it out.
I don't know if you've ever had a 32-ounce cup. You would have a hard time carrying it. I mean, it's enormous. If New Yorkers reduce portion size to 16 ounces from 20 ounces for just one sugary drink every 2 weeks, that alone would collectively save something about 2.3 million pounds over a year in New York City. This is the single biggest step any city, I think, has ever taken to curb obesity, but certainly not the last step that lots of cities are going to take.
All right, so curbing obesity, I'm going to call him out on that. I say no way. Number one, somebody has to decide that they're going to do that and they're going to have to work on it in different ways. And I think dragging around a 32-ounce soda or iced tea or whatever is not going to be the thing that pushes somebody over the top. What about all the other things in between? You know, the 10,000 M&Ms and Tootsie Rolls and Heath Bars and ice cream and all that other stuff. So give me a break on that. I think it's a waste of breath, although it's an easy thing to talk about. Because, yeah, there might be some blowback on it, but, yeah, you can step away from all the terrorism stuff and other things that ail New York City and just focus on what can I do to get involved in this whole obesity thing? What rules can I lay down that, frankly, I'll say it again, just really will not amount to a hill of beans, unfortunately. Because, listen, if it did, then that's easy. Put down 32 ounces. During the day, you could drink way more than that anyway by dragging around, you know, 8 ounces of this, 8 ounces of that, and before you know it, all adds up. So that's the bottom line. The blunder of the week, besides the fools at the Democratic Convention who had the admiral who was terrific, the Navy admiral, who was paying attention to the veterans and doing a tribute, and he had the Russian warships behind him. That's on my website if you haven't seen it, americatonight.net. I think the other blunder, because that's a leftover from the convention, the other blunder has to be the court jester when it comes to our finances, and that's Ben Bernanke. Yes, many times we have spoken of Ben. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, he was the Time Person of the Year. I fell over practically on the train, and I happened to be back east, when I saw the cover. I couldn't believe it. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me with Ben Bernanke? He's the money changer. And talk about changing money. He's turning everything into monopoly money. So the Federal Reserve launches QE3 while you were sleeping. Here's Ben Bernanke.
The idea is to quicken the recovery, to help the economy begin to grow quickly enough to generate new jobs and to reduce the unemployment rate. In terms of the mid-2015 date, we think by that point that the economy will be recovering, will be providing the support it needs.
Yep, so they didn't waste any time. They're buying, and they're expected to add up to maybe 23, you know, talking about bonds, $23 billion for the remainder of September. So that's called quantitative easing. They buy $40 billion in mortgage-backed securities each month. What a mistake, I'm telling you. There's where we just need to, Ron Paul's right, just ditch the Federal Reserve. I know there's a way to redo this. really, there is a way to redo this. He's completely right, because now our financial system has turned into funny money. That's why you hear the fabulous owner of GCN. You'll hear snippets of him in spots talking about gold and buying gold and people going toward gold for good reasons, because they see the funny money. Let's go to Tomas, who's listening to us in Michigan. Hey, Tomas.
Oh, man, we're going to have some fun tonight. Check it out. Did you see that in L.A. they had a police car chase? And the cops were after him, so he started throwing money out the window?
Yes.
I think yes. That was overnight. Wasn't that running?
Actually, that was a wild card chase, one of the biggest of all times. It was crazy. But it could, yeah. Probably was Ben Bernanke.
I can't believe it. I mean, you know, I did the math. Look, there's 132 million people working. That's the workforce in America right now. It's down. Now, if you give each one of them $3, okay, that's $396 million. That's almost $400 million, okay? So let's just say give everybody who's working $3, that's $400 million. Now, if you gave them $30, that would be $4 billion. And if you gave them $300, Kate, that would be $40 billion, right? So every month, what they're doing is they're going to take $300 out of your pocket and my pocket every month. And they're going to give it to the banks, Kate.
Oh, I know. To play with, to earn more money, to sit on, yeah.
And you know what, Kate? I don't think this is a coincidence. I bet you right now there are reporters trying to figure out where this money's going. Because I got a feeling there's going to be a kickback to Obama on this. If you do the math, you know, that's, let me see, $40 billion. And you figure the banks are going to be able to lend that out at 5% easy, right? So 5% of $40 billion is $2 billion a month. You think they might be able to skim a little bit off of that and give it to Obama, maybe $100 million until at least the election?
Could be. There's ways to wrangle that, and there are loopholes, and there are ways to bury that. Yes.
And if anybody knows how to wrangle, and if anybody knows about loopholes, it's the banks.
Yes.
This is
no.
Not a coincidence. Come on, you know the stock market was already going up.
Okay? I know. I know.
This is a way to get for Obama to get money from the banks, because it's not going to help. All they're doing is buying their own bonds.
Absolutely.
One side of the pool and putting it in the other.
Yeah, I love that analogy. You are dead on right. I knew you were going to call when you heard that, Tomas. We're so on the same page on that one. Meet you on the other side, folks.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
The worst drought in 50 years continues, and the first 6 months of 2012 marks the hottest half year on record. 78% of the Midwest Corn Belt is in drought conditions. Not only corn, but soy, alfalfa, fruits, vegetables, and wheat are all impacted, raising prices. The cost to feed livestock is forcing farmers and ranchers out of business, blowing up your food prices. The only strategy to counter this is to freeze your food cost at today's prices by getting your own supply of foods from eFoods Direct now. As the price of raw ingredients increases, eFoods will have to raise prices too. Now is the time to get your supply. I recently increased my supply from eFoods Direct because we have all known this was coming. You know about their delicious long-term storable foods. The fact is, you can eat at any time to save money today. And because it stores for 25 years, you're locking in today's prices and avoiding the rising food costs. Don't wait. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey water filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey water filters with Wise foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
Besides, after 17 years, that's what he goes there for, is to unlock the door. All around him criticize and say,
all right, we're skiing down the slope called quantitative easing, and let me dive a little bit further into this quickly here, because I think it's about justification. It should be about accountability, and this has been the problem all along. So check this out. We know the banks are sitting on, to take this further as to what Tomas was saying, banks are sitting on a pile of cash. Close your eyes and think of what $1.6 trillion looks like. I'm going to do it right now. I can't even imagine it. $1.6 trillion in reserves, right? And credit standards are very, very tight. Try to get a loan with this whole financial crisis, right? So people are paying down debt. They're not going to try to ramp up any kind of spending. Why are you going to do that? Are you kidding? So will this help the housing market, new construction? I've noticed a little bit in my neighborhood and the neighborhood over, a little bit. And I've seen that home prices have ticked up a little bit. A little bit. QE3 was right there in the pocket of Ben Bernanke. He's been pushing Congress to do more to to support what he calls the recovery in the short term. Here we go. Did you hear what I said? Short term. It's always about the Band-Aids. While still looking at the debt problem over the long term, supposedly, is Bernanke's solution. But Congress isn't doing anything about that. And they're certainly not worried about the fiscal cliff right now. They're worried about their own hides in this election year. People forget we're focusing so much on the presidential race, but all the House seats are up and 33 Senate seats are up, and things could flip in some interesting directions. It's not just a give-me kind of year. So the focus is not on what's going on financially. Now that we have QE3, the central bank doesn't use taxpayer money to buy bonds, but it expands the money supply, get it, the funny money, I keep calling it monopoly money, and electronically credits banks with more funds, which is what Tomas was talking about. Here's what I picture. I picture 12 guys in Armani suits or Joffrey Bean suits or, you know, whatever, expensive threads, sitting around laughing collectively as to what's going on here. See, you've got one guy who opposed the decision, because you got 12, the Fed has 12 voting members, in case you didn't know. So Bernanke's like the Pope, but he has the cardinals around him. You like that analogy? And what happens is one guy, Richmond Fed president, a guy named Jeff Lacker, opposed what they did on Thursday. And he said he objected against the 2015 forecast in QE3. And he's been dissenting all along because he sees the rabbit hole that we're in. The banks are making more money. They are not lending money. They're more than reluctant to lend money. And then I love this, too. Okay, so QE3, we need to do this because look at the labor market and it's ugly and all this stuff. And this Jesus is going to solve the problem. And while that's happening, Ben Bernanke is also saying that the Fed is not strong enough to fix the job market. Okay. But we're taking this drastic move. We're pumping all this dough here and buying up these bonds. And who's making the money on it? And what's the answer? I mean, the weak job market is what we should be worried about. And then the just shooting the money out is just ridiculous. Ridiculous. So, yeah, sure, the Fed is saying, oh, yeah, short-term interest rates, we're going to keep them low until 2015, which is why the one guy objected, until mid-2015. Before, the Fed was saying that they would be low until 2014. And then here's the problem. I'm going to just cut to the chase. It's the same thing. The rates are low. They want to fuel more spending. But people aren't being hired, and they don't have that money. So who's qualifying? They're not qualifying people either when it comes to getting the money. So the pipeline is screwed up. It's going in a circle. It's going in the wrong direction. That's what's happening. The wrong direction. All right, if you want to throw in your 2 cents, 855-266, Kate, 855-266-5283. It's called barter, my friends. Barter is a good way to do business. We may all end up doing barter. I mean, start bartering with people you know. Let's go to Pete in the great state of Texas. Hey, Peter, thanks for hanging through. What's on your mind?
Oh, man, I am so glad I am off the grid.
Good for you.
I have no mortgage. My vehicles are paid for. I live 5 miles from work. It takes me 7 minutes to get to work. I use minimal fuel. I'm truly blessed. And the way to get out of this is to be a productive individual, get paid for your productivity, be active. You're going to lose weight. And drink a Coke. Did you know that Coca-Cola, the stock just split on Coca-Cola at 80? I had my shares, and the best part about it, Coca-Cola distributes water. So anytime there's a disaster or anything, what's the first thing everybody does? They send
water.
Water.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's life. So Coke is a brand name. It's international. So go get you some Coca-Cola stuff and hang out with me, man.
You know what, Pete, that's a great suggestion. You're absolutely right. I just had this discussion with somebody, gosh, probably a couple of months ago, saying exactly what you said. They're smart. Look what they did. If you want to look at a blue chip stock and you've just rolled over your 401k or whatever nonsense, or you have a little bit of money, there's something to look at. Apple's the other one, because look what's happening with Apple.
Yeah, and you've got water is the new oil.
Yes.
I live in West Texas.
Yeah.
And water is the new oil. You know, 20 ounces of water costs like $2 in West Texas. I don't know what it is up north. It's probably $4 or $5. You know, I'm the best move I've ever made.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for you, Pete.
But
yeah, absolutely.
Be productive and get paid for your productivity. And you'll lose weight, and you can drink a Coke.
Words of wisdom. It was good to hear from you, as always. So, that's right. Bloomy says you can't drink a Coke. Forget that. He drinks Cokes. Just not 32 ounces. It adds up during the day, right? I would love to see proof of that. Somebody is going to get skinny by now. And he's not saying that either, by the way. But that's what they're alluding to and talking about the obesity thing and that this is just disgraceful and the 32 ounces. Well, the other thing is, half the people that grab that, they're nursing it. Have you ever heard the term nursing? They're nursing it during the day. That's what they do. And they put it in the refrigerator or get it the next day. You know what I'm saying. You get it. Mark in Illinois. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Am I on the line?
You are.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, hi, Kate. I just wanted to comment on what you were discussing a few moments ago about the way that this, or your belief that this quantitative easing isn't really going to do anything to help the economy.
Sure.
So I was just kind of hoping to think out loud and reason my way through this and get your thoughts.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, so, you know, my starting assumption is that the economy, that is, the success of the economy, is based on information between producers and consumers. That is, you know, if you think about it like a football team huddling together, and the producers say, okay, we're going to produce this much, and the consumers say, okay, we're going to consume this much, then jobs are created so that the consumers can consume, and, you know, products are produced so that the consumers can buy it.
Sure.
And the reason the economy doesn't work well is because there's imperfect information so that the producers and the consumers don't know each other's intentions. So my thought is, with this quantitative easing, what they're going to do is enable, you know, traders to go out there and buy up a bunch of stock. And, you know, because they're going to have more money available, that could drive up the perceived value of the stock. But then the corporations, you know, they'll have all this extra capital to use, but then they'll say, well, but we have to sit on the capital. And why? Because of economic uncertainty.
Yes.
They say, we're not going to go out there and hire anybody because, A, the debt is going up. That's why the S&P downgraded government credit.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, because we don't know whether or not the dollars, you know, inflation is going to go through the roof or the dollar might collapse. And then the second reason is because they're concerned about Obama, because Obama has employed so much anti-business rhetoric and created all these stopgap measures and, you know, increased the debt and the spending, but only government spending, without giving businesses, for example, permanency in the tax code. So, like, businesses can't say, well, we know that our taxes are going to be such and so, you know, perpetually, so that we can say, well, we're definitely going to hire this many people.
Right.
He talks about all these little government or all these little tax cuts and things, like I cut taxes 18 times on small businesses, but they were just temporary things so that the small businesses say, well, we don't know what's going to happen. So now we have all this extra capital, we're going to sit on it and do nothing.
Right, absolutely. And that therein is the rub. What you said right there, Mark, this is why it doesn't work. That's why it won't work. Hang through.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com. Utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. faketv.com, the burglar deterrent.
Here it is, another election year. And here you are again, wishing you knew more about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the other amendments, and the Declaration of Independence. But who has the time to study? Wouldn't it be nice if you could simply listen to them? And wouldn't it be great if they came packaged with an index? Yep, an index that lets you go to any part of the founding documents just by punching in a track number on your computer or CD player. What exactly is the Ninth Amendment? Track 10, play. It's that simple. The Founding Documents Collection on audio CD. To get yours now, just go to Amazon.com and type in Founding Documents Collection CD. For just $19.95 and $3.99 shipping and handling, you'll have the firepower you need to argue from the ultimate facts that form our nation's foundation. Want to be a hero? Get one for you and give another to your local school for Constitution Day. Go to Amazon.com now and type in Founding Documents Collection CD.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me, and I will.
I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in Libya. Thanks for hanging through, folks. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Remember, you can always let it fly, let it rip, let those frustrations flow like the lava in Guatemala by hitting us up at americatonight.net. Just go on the website, click on contact email you are in, boom, like that. Yeah, that thing about the lava, because I flew over Kilauea once, and it was erupting a little bit. I thought it was pretty cool to see it from the air. But this volcano in Guatemala is spewing, I mean, just, it's the Vulcan de Fugo is what it's called. Exploded. I mean, boom, boom. Just like what you think of volcanoes are like. You have thick clouds of ash 2 miles high. You have rivers of lava pouring down the flanks of the volcano and evacuating 33,000 people. There were 70 people in those areas surrounding that volcano. Somebody told me one time it is incredibly lucky to live at the base of a volcano. And I thought, what a hopefully a dormant one, right? Incredibly lucky. Ugh. The last house they had at Kilauea finally was covered over in lava. I think that happened like 8 months ago, something like that. Hey, some other good news before we get to the very somber, serious, sickening stuff that's going on in Libya and in the Middle East. How about this? You know, spreading out the band-aids. I talked about quantitative easing and what was going to happen with the Fed's new action. We've been talking about that, mixing that in this hour, right? So the Band-Aids were also tossed down the line to the House. They came back to Washington for a brief session, because you remember they had the summer recess, basically running for re-election, and fall season, and the House passed a spending bill funding enough out there to avoid a government shutdown. And what does funding enough mean? Oh, you know how we have to count in trillions now? Yeah, it used to be millions, then it was billions. Now it's trillions. We'll have to teach our kids trillions and what that means and what that looks like when they go to school. But anyway, it's called a continuing resolution, a CR. Whenever they throw out the CR, they're talking about expensive Band-Aids. It's $1.47 trillion, basically. $1.47 trillion spending agreement between all the necessary parties, and it avoids the shutdown until, you ready for this? Bum, ba-da-da. Here's the magical date. It's kind of near my birthday. Kind of near April Fool's, which makes it funny. March 27, 2013. So that would be, let me see my math, 5 months after the November election. And the government just relies on this short-term funding extension since 2009. Do you know the last time that the Senate passed any kind of a traditional budget plan was 2009, right? Since 2009, that's what they've been doing. It seems ridiculous. It doesn't seem. It is ridiculous. All right, let's talk about Libya. You could see, I mean, seriously, you could see the pain on Hillary Clinton's face, the Secretary of State. I heard that she knew the ambassador a little bit, Ambassador Stevens. And what does that mean? I mean, she may have had a few meetings with him or whatever. But that she took this very personally. And, of course, you know, talking about the State Department and Libya dumping all that money, helping the people of Libya. And then having this happen, what essentially was a planned attack. An inside job that killed 4 Americans and left the Benghazi consulate in ruins. I mean, who cares about the building itself? It's the people, really. But this was an important place for our diplomats to be because they were helping. They were trying to help in the transition, which is incredibly tricky with the high emotions and the Muslim Brotherhood, for what you believe them to be, there is a radical, radical side, a giant slice of radical Islam that runs through the Brotherhood. And in trying to make some kind of a transition that makes sense, this makes no sense whatsoever. And I agree with Clinton when she says something that's pretty obvious to all of us. Check this out.
Violence, we believe, has no place in religion and is no way to honor religion.
Yeah, there you go. But here's the thing, and Clinton knows this as well as a student of history. This is the problem when you try to deal rationally with what has happened for thousands of years in the Middle East. It's like Iraq. You have the Sunnis, the Shiites, and the Kurds. And there have been fighting religious factions for a long time. Now you're trying to point them in a different direction. And it's the same for Tunisia. It's the same for Egypt, especially once Mubarak was out. And the same for Libya. And the problem is this also goes back so much further. And there are people there that say, really, you know, with this anti-American rhetoric that's bubbled up, if we'll call them the moderate people in Libya, no, they want America's help. But the more radical side, and then the others who are saying, you were the people who were supporting Gaddafi, then boom, he's done, and we're getting shot like dogs in the street 5 months ago, and now, you know, here we go again. So she's right when she says the greatest religions of the world are much stronger than any insults, anything that you could possibly think of. But unfortunately, the tradition, the culture, all of that is deep-seated. And no matter, I believe this, you have all these diplomatic missions, you have all these conversations, and yes, there are people that get it, there are people that understand it's time to move in a different direction, but that those seeds of hate and division are there and are very hard to remove. Very hard to remove. There's a couple of really good books that I've read and some people that I want to have on the show in the next month or so to talk about this. And people, that we've had on before to address the situation. It's just like, you know, we talk about Afghanistan and the Taliban rolls right back to where it was once we officially leave in 2014. And part of the reason is because the people are 90% illiterate. Where do they get their information? From the mosque. They go to the mosque, they meet, they hear. That's it. Word of mouth. Very little television. It's like when we had one of our top generals go and apologize for some collateral damage and it was televised. What a biggest waste of time that you can imagine, because, you know, it might as well have been pumped back into all of the base camps and whatnot, because the people really didn't get that message. It didn't reach them, since that's not how they communicate. And somehow, you know, we have to realize that there is a big problem. How do you bridge the gap? Does it mean you give up? I'm not saying you give up. I mean, look at this ambassador. He lived for doing this and walked and talked and knew the people in the community. And some of the Libyans were, of course, very upset that Ambassador Stevens was a target and was taken out the way that he was. But the fear is that more violence will spread, and we're bracing for it. Pretty much that's the word in 7 different countries. Awful stuff.
Nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.